With the NBA playoffs coming back, something we're going to be seeing a lot is every player's fresh new cut. But you know what else needs a fresh new cut? Your lawn. That's why you should hit up Tavon's Lawn Care. Tavon's Lawn Care LLC is a black family-owned business located in York, Pennsylvania. Tavon's Lawn Care, or TLC for short, since they provide each job with tender love and care, has been in business for over 10 years. Founded by owner Tavon Parker, TLC aims to provide employment for underprivileged youth while providing great service at a reasonable rate. Visit Tavon's Lawn Care LLC or Tavon's Lawn Care on Facebook and Instagram to view their portfolio and request your cost-free quote today.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the All In Podcast. I'm your host, Eli, joined by my co-host, Mike Badzik. What's up, brother?
What's up, man? Episode 22. Happy to be here with you, as always, Eli. And with our special guest on the YouTube, you can see him on audio, you're listening. Cody Deal is here.
What's going on, guys?
The newly formed Real Deal Rodeo with Cody Deal, presented by the All In Network. The host is joining us. What's up, man?
Yes, sir. It's great to be here, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to do this. Really excited.
Yeah, man. We appreciate you coming on. Excited about where the network is going. We had a couple of debuts this Friday. For those of you who follow us, Cody made his debut and did an interview with Leah Rachel, who runs like the University of Maryland Athletics, like social media and stuff like that, has gone on to do some big things in her career. So if you guys haven't checked that out yet, not sure what's the holdup, make sure you go check that out on YouTube. Audio versions are on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever streaming podcasts. And, you know, we even got new things going on here. As you can see, me and my boy Mike, we're coming into you in HD today. New high-tech cameras and stuff like that. So, you know, we're leveling up. We're trying to make the best podcast possible for you guys. So thank you guys for sticking with us through the, I guess, the standard definition days. So, Cody, we want to get into, you know, talk a little bit about you. Let our viewers get to know you a little bit. You know, about where you're from, you know, your upbringing and what made you want to start the podcast, Real Deal Radio, that we now have, as part of the All In Network. So, talk a little bit about, we'll start, you know, your high school experience. As you know, we go back a little bit.
Yeah, man, definitely.
We are both former Hoopers from the Central PA area. Yep. So tell the people a little bit about your basketball career and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. So I went to Lower Dauphin High School in Central PA. We weren't the best program at the time. We didn't win, you know, a lot of games. I had a couple, you know, below 500 seasons, ended my career with the season that was at 500. So team success, you know, I wanted more, you know, wish I could have done more. But individually, you know, I had a pretty good career there. You know, I was lucky enough to score 1,000 points. Eli, we kind of had some similar careers. I mean, both, you know,
impact Back
players
boys.
On our team. Yeah, exactly. had a pretty decent career there, and then was lucky enough to go on to play. I played at the Division III level at DeSales University. It's in the Allentown area in Bethlehem, PA. And that was a pretty good program there. We won a MAC Middle Atlantic Conference Championship while I was there. We won an NCAA tournament game while I was there, which was probably the two highlights of my career. Had a good couple all conference seasons. Was able to score 1,000 there as well. You know, had some no records, but you know, tried to climb the record books a little bit in terms of 3-point shooting and things like that. So definitely had a pretty successful career. I was very happy with it. The friendships and relationships I made have been, you know, huge in my life ever since. Some guys that are still some of my best friends to this day. The coaching was huge, and it kind of led me into, you know, one of my hobbies right now is I'm a volunteer coach as well. I coach over at Cedar Cliff High School, the Central PA area as well. So yeah, so basketball, really, I mean, a lot of the things in my life have kind of come from the game. It's given me a lot of opportunities. I know you can relate to that as well. Love basketball, huge part of my life. It's something I wish I played more. I'm not playing enough right now, but I'm definitely hoping to get back into it. Hopefully with the weather cooling off, maybe in the fall, try to get playing a little bit, some indoor leagues, something like that. But yeah, so big basketball guy for sure.
Agreed. Same, you know, and so you're working with my guy Ty Savercool over there.
Cool. He's a good guy. Really
love,
good guy.
Love that guy.
Yep. He's cool. He keeps it real. You know, he coaches the kids really hard. He sticks by his beliefs and what, you know, what he thinks should happen. And I definitely respect that. He gets respect from the kids. And he definitely gets some buy-in, gets the kids working really hard. So I respect him a lot. It's been a lot of fun. He was really, you know, fortunate. I was fortunate to have him offer the opportunity to me. Last year was my first year. So, well, 2 years ago was my first year. And he actually went to the same college as me. So that was kind of how we had originally connected. And then I knew him in high school too, just through the AAU scene and just kind of knowing coaches and players around. So really cool guy, really cool guy. Gave me a great opportunity. Definitely thankful for it.
Awesome. Yeah. So, you know, obviously had an excellent college career. So talk a little bit about post-college, things you've been up to, mm-hmm. things you got going on.
Sure. So yeah, graduated from DeSales in 2016, with a degree in finance. So I kind of, you know, followed that path or tried to follow that path, you know, since I've been out, first couple of jobs, you know, not so great. I didn't do a whole lot of, I did a lot of having fun in college. I didn't do, you know, probably enough preparation for the real world. I wish I would've gotten some more work experience, came out, got, you know, decent jobs. They were okay jobs, but it wasn't any amazing jobs. So it's kind of just been, you know, working, you know, here and there, whatever I can do at the companies that I was at. And then, I've worked at, you know, a lending institution, banks, and then I wound up now I'm working for, my day job right now is with the state government. I work in our economic development department as an analyst. So that's kind of really the career path I've been on. It, you know, it's, I wouldn't say it's the most exciting thing, but it's been cool. Stuff like this, you know, it makes a huge difference in life because this stuff is fun, right? Like I kind of, at this point, I'm kind of just working so I can, you know, hopefully keep building towards having some more financial freedom to do more fun stuff like this. So that's kind of the path that my life took after school. It was kind of just got the job and just started working right away. And that was pretty much it. I mean, I've enjoyed it for sure, but obviously like everybody else, you know, we're always looking for that next thing. So this has been really cool. Definitely glad that we got this thing going right now and you guys got this thing going and we're willing to help me out with this, because this has been probably, besides coaching obviously, which has been really fun, you know, one of the most exciting things I've had going for a while. So it's definitely good to be doing this with y'all.
Agreed. So yeah, so the finance thing, that's, you know, something you have in common with my guy Mike here. He's a number cruncher too.
Where do you work, Mike?
I work at a bank in out here in Ohio, bank located in Western Pennsylvania, but I do some of the analysis as well for the lending side. So you bring up the coaching and basketball and finance mm-hmm. and economic development. So I don't know if your podcast is really about any of those things specifically.
Right. Yeah, no, definitely not. So my idea really with the podcast, I mean, you know, we're kind of living a day and age now. I'm sure you guys listen to other podcasts. I've been listening to them for a while and it's always brought a lot of value to my life, right? I mean, I can go as far to say that I've listened to podcasts that have completely changed my life. And I'm not saying that that's what I'm really trying to do, but I think that there can be a lot of value in them. And that's kind of just where it started for me. Like, what could I do with this? I've always kind of had a knack for talking to people, connecting with people. I've been told I have a voice for it. I don't really know what that means, but I think I just think I've had like some tools and skills that I've developed in my life that have, you know, enabled me to be able to communicate with people pretty well. And I've been lucky enough to meet a lot of people, really cool people too. So what I'm initially trying to do with this podcast is more so highlighting cool stories or stories that I think are cool or beneficial mm-hmm. to others, and kind of just bring those to the public, you know, bring those out to my network of people that I've been lucky enough to know. As a lot of like-minded people, I mean, a lot of, especially people our age, I think we're all kind of in that stage of personal development. Obviously the world is crazy right now, so we're all just trying mm-hmm. to, you know, make ourselves better, make the world a better place. And that's kind of my idea behind it. So my first episode is one of my good friends. Her name's Leah Rachel, like you guys mentioned earlier. Just has done a lot of cool things with her life. She's achieved a lot, and I know she's a very, very good person. I've known her since I was about, I think maybe, I mean, we were in seventh grade. I was in seventh grade when I met her, so I mean, it's been a long, long time. So I've kind of like seen her story from the beginning, and just watching what she's done, I think is really cool, and it's been motivating to me. So that was just kind of the idea of the first one. That's kind of what we went through, was kind of her life and story, and that's what I plan to do with all the episodes moving forward, at least for the time being. I want to start it off with kind of like an interview series with people that I know from the area that I think have cool stories that can help other people's lives. Maybe take some tidbits or lessons, you know, say there's a young person that might be listening to this, or not even a young person, anybody in life that I think, you know, it's a lesson that may have helped me. I just like passing things on that helped me in my life. So that's kind of where I'm coming with it. Just taking information, you know, stories, lessons that I think are valuable and sharing them back out. So although it might not be specifically always, you know, basketball, finance, you know, related to all that stuff, working for the state or your everyday day job. Some of those things might come up. I do plan to have friends on that, you know, are more, you know, I have some athletes plan to come on, things like that. So we'll talk about some basketball and sports stuff too, but I want it to be very broad, and I want it to be more of kind of like a just a podcast for life, if that makes sense. Just something that maybe you can pick up, something that might motivate you to do something or inspire you to do something, or maybe just think about something in a different way. That's been, you know, probably my goal, my main goal with this. That's what we're trying to do, at least with the start here.
That's cool. Yeah, it's cool. You said people say you have a radio voice. I never got that. I've gotten people say I have a radio face. I don't know what that means.
Hey, I've gotten that one too. It usually goes hand in hand. They're like, you definitely have a voice for it, but a face for it too. So I get that. Right. I get that.
Listen, you guys are too modest. You guys are good looking guys, man.
Appreciate that.
So talk a little bit about you know, your connection with Leah, how you know her, where that you know came about.
Definitely. So when I was, it all started in middle school, like I said. It might have even been earlier than I thought. I started my elementary school life way back, kindergarten, seems like forever ago. I went to a really small private Christian school called Harrisburg Christian School, and in fifth grade I moved to Hershey Christian School, and it was another small private Christian school, and that's where she was already at. So I moved there. I went there for a couple years, you know, built a lot of, you know, good friendships. Actually, some of my best friends to this day were built, you know, in those middle school years at that Hershey Christian school. So that's where we met. We both played basketball, loved basketball. We're both North Carolina Tar Heel fans. So there's just a lot of connections. We've just kind of always had like a really good vibe together, you know, really always got along, and just kind of stayed in touch over the years. In high school, I ended up going to a different high school. So we stayed in touch. It's not like we were hanging out a lot or anything, but we were able to stay in touch and stay close. And, you know, I went off to school, she went off to school, kind of went our separate ways, but always, again, you know, stayed in touch as much as we could. And obviously we've both had different paths in life, so we weren't always the best of friends, but it's been one friend that I have had. And every time that we do talk, it feels like, you know, we just talked the other day. Like, no matter how long ago it may have been that we spoke or saw each other, it's kind of like a, you know, a nice reconnection every time. So definitely, you know, had some good chemistry, and I thought she would be, like I said, a good story to bring on. So was really happy with how I went. I was nervous. I've never done anything like that. And obviously there's a lot of things I want to work on, some corrections that I want to make, and things that I've noticed that I do personally that need to be better. But yeah, she was great, and I knew she'd be good at it. She's done other podcasts. She's done a lot of cool things, so she made it really easy. So that's kind of how it all started. We were just young. We both love basketball, love the same college team, and that's kind of where it all began, and just kind of stayed close ever since middle school.
Yeah, and people don't realize interviewing is not that easy. Like, we're kind of new to it too. And when you're asking questions, and you don't want to step over a line, but you're going to ask, you know what I'm saying? So it's not as easy as people think. And
definitely.
I like the series you're doing, 717 interviews. Yeah, talk about like your hometown, then 717 area. You seem to be really proud of that.
Yeah, definitely am. And I think, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I understand. I have a lot of friends and know a lot of people that do not like where we come from. And I think that's kind of like, I don't know. I personally have never been able to look at life that way. I try to be a pretty content guy and appreciate, you know, the beauty and things while we can, while we have them. And it's just, I've been able to meet a lot of really amazing people here. My immediate family is here. Always went to school here. I went to college. My college is about an hour and a half away, so that's really as far as that I've, you know, ventured away from it. Obviously, I've traveled and done other things, but I've just never really lived anywhere else, and it's just been great to me. I mean, I'm really grateful and thankful for the life that I've been blessed to live here. And it's just, it kind of has everything that I could ask for. You know, there's a time in my life where obviously, like, you know, the going out fun scene was important, and they have things like that to offer in the downtown areas, but it's also a rural area. I live in more of a suburban area. So it just kind of like had everything that I, you know, needed in my life. I'm a fan of it. It's developed me and developed a lot of people I know and who I think are really great people. So I'm not here like claiming like, you know, 717 over everything. It's not really anything that deep, but it's just, I do like where I'm from. And I just try to appreciate it as much as I can, you know. I wouldn't say it's the most diverse. You know, if there's one thing I would like more, it's more diversity. I don't know if anybody could tell by looking at me, but I'm half black and half white. So, and I was raised here with the white part of my family, essentially. So that's one thing I wish I could have had more of growing up. Went to a lot of schools that were predominantly white. Again, not that there's anything wrong with that, but that's probably the only thing missing from the area. But other than that, I'm a big fan of it. It's just a good place. Family's been here. I think it's more just because I'm used to it, and it's been good to me. I've had a good experience, so I just have really no complaints about it. And I know there's a lot of cool stories from here, just because I've been able to meet a lot of people. We've had a lot of successful athletes. Now, Coop, I don't know. Are you the 717 area code? You might not be. You are still too. Exactly, and it's a huge area. So for me to say it's not diverse is probably an ignorant thing to say. Like, my specific part is not very diverse, but the 717 is a pretty wide ranging area. And obviously, Coop, you're a great athlete. You know a bunch of great athletes. Like, it's just, there's been a lot of good things come from here. And I think sometimes it gets a bad rap for, I don't really know. It definitely gets a bad rap, though. I see it a lot. So yeah, I just try to, you know, appreciate it as much as I can. And that's kind of just the angle I come from. And I think there's a lot of good stories to be told here, too.
Yeah, it's definitely 717 over everything, though.
No. Yeah, that's fast. You're right. I'm playing.
I honestly can relate to everything you just said. You know, I kind of, as far as the schools that I went to and the area that I grew up in, is very similar, predominantly white school, one of the few. Now, I grew up with more of the black side of my family than anything else, but when it comes to like schooling and people that I grew up with was predominantly white,
right.
And I would say even like for my area, I grew up in Northeastern is like mostly rural white area. So it took a while. And then we had a big like Baltimore explosion. So it took a while for us to really get some diversity, probably, you know, a little sooner than like the Harrisburg area would have gotten, because you got guys, you know, from Harrisburg, you'll see people disperse out of the Harrisburg area. You'll see more black people from there. But so it's certainly, it ends up being a diverse place depending on where you go. You know, whether you're downtown Harrisburg all the way to York, different areas like that. So you learn a lot growing up in the 717, and that is not an understatement at all. Like you mentioned, you know, we've had a surgeons of athletes come out of our area that have gone to like play professionally and
do some really great things.
The latest, I'm sure you've heard of the kid Chance Westry at Trinity. I coached against him the last two seasons, his freshman and sophomore year. I've had
the
pleasure coaching against him, and now he's going out to
Sierra Canyon,
out in California. He's top 25 in the country, out here in Central for football. We got one of the top quarterbacks in the nation. I think he might I think he might be number one or not.
I think you're right. Something I'm pretty like sure that. I read that.
Something, he's up there, and I'm just like, you know, this is new to us, right?
We
were coming up, going D1 was cool, and now it's
We got pros, man.
We got legitimate like pros and nationally ranked dudes coming out of here. And I'm like, well, you know, there might be something in our water now. You know what I mean?
It's crazy. It's very crazy. And I actually have this conversation a lot with some of the other guys I coach with and guys I've used to play with. It seems like especially when we were in high school, I mean, there was a pretty good number of scholarship level guys. I mean, obviously, you know, you played at the Division II level. There's a bunch of other guys that I played against that were scholarship level guys. And I feel like the level of basketball was maybe a little bit higher overall than it is right now. But there's no doubt that in terms of like individual talent, like right now, I mean, there's some of the best individual talent that's probably ever come out of the area. Obviously with Chance, the kid from I coached against Chance in a summer league, and obviously he is the truth. But I coached against the kid that really impressed me this past year. From Gettysburg. Quadir Copeland.
Copeland, man.
That kid, I think he's the best player that I've seen play in the state. I'm not sitting here saying somebody's better than somebody else, but that kid was impressive too. I think he's going to be a high level player.
Absolutely.
There's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of it going on right now, and it's definitely fun to see. It's fun to see.
Yeah, man, 717 is rising up in athletics. So keep an eye on us. We doing big things. You know, one of the things that you talk a lot about on your social media is obviously the you know, weight loss change that you've gone through.
Yeah.
I think recently you said on Twitter it was like 50 pounds, something like
that.
So talk about like what motivated you to like start that journey and keep you going.
Definitely. So I don't know, Coop, if you can relate to this, but I mean, when I've always been a bigger person. I've been chubby my entire life. I've really played chubby too. So it's not like, you know, it's kind of just something that I was used to. But when basketball stopped, like my senior year of college, like from, I'd say the last time I stepped foot on a basketball court, like the last game of my senior year, to the summertime, like the second, basically second semester of senior year, I gained probably more weight in that short period than I had like over the course of my entire life in like a span like that. You know what I mean? It was just kind of like my diet obviously changed a lot. You know, I was probably drinking too much, like most college kids do. Was definitely eating too much, not eating the right things, staying out late, you know, eating late at night. And just kind of never really got it under control. Cause when you're hooping, I mean, for somebody like me, who's kind of always been chubby, like the hooping always kind of kept me right where I needed to be able to play at least. You know what I mean?
Yep.
When that stopped, you know, I wasn't really working out. I wasn't really hooping anymore. So I just, for years, kind of just let it go and just really got to a point where I was just not living a healthy lifestyle at all. I wasn't taking care of my body. And it just was not a good look, obviously not a good look at all. So it kind of just got to a point where my mom had actually, you know, successfully done this diet. And it worked really well for her. And I do just kind of, I tried different things. You know, I had been working out, you know, I lifted the whole time. It just was never really getting my body to a point where I wanted it to be. So at a certain point, it kind of just, you know, made a choice. And with the quarantine, it was perfect. The first couple months of quarantine was bad. Like I was, you know, drinking and just not living right at all. And I was just thinking like, you can't just keep living like this forever. You know what I mean? Eventually you're going to die living this way. I wouldn't say I was near death by any means, but it's just not the right way to live in my opinion.
Yeah.
So I, you know, just made the choice to do it and got on this diet plan and just decided that if I'm going to stick with it, the only way it's going to work is if I actually give it a try. So I gave it a try. It was, you know, kind of, you know, a specific type of plan. It was, you know, a lot of meals during the day, pretty low carb, really low calorie. But you know, after the first week, I saw a lot of success. And then after the second week, I saw a lot of success. And it was kind of just like, you know, this could really work. This is the change I've been looking for my body for years. So just had to keep going. And it's been really successful. So I recently have stopped that specific plan and kind of transitioned to a new way of eating that I think, you know, is how is going to be best for my body and what I'm trying to do. But, it was definitely tough. It was just, you know, some discipline. It was all diet. I wasn't really exercising that much because of the quarantine, but being in quarantine definitely helped. Not, you know, being at, you know, the lunch every day, you know, I work downtown by the Capitol. So, you know, across the street, there's a bunch of restaurants down there in the Capitol building. There's a cafe that has pretty good food. So, you know, I wasn't eating healthy at work. We got snack tables at work, going out to happy hour after work. Like it's always, you know, there's a lot of distractions in the world of if you're trying to live healthy, it's hard sometimes. So being at home definitely helped out a lot, but it was just a matter of tightening up my diet. And, you know, over the course of a couple months was able to lose. The other day I weighed in, I gassed it a little bit for the social media. I lost 48 and a half pounds so far. So I rounded it up to 50.
Oh, you got to round that up. Yeah, you got to round that up.
I rounded it up to 50 for the tweet. But yeah, so that's the plan. And I have a lot more to lose. I mean, my goal is much, much larger number. So we'll see what happens. But it's definitely been going well. And I'm thankful for it because it's changed my life completely. I mean, obviously, anybody listening to this may not be looking for any, you know, healthy weight loss advice. But I will say, if you're looking to lose some weight, if you can do it successfully, it'll change your life in ways that you wouldn't even imagine. It's completely transformed mine. So whatever you got to do to make it happen, I definitely, you know, would recommend making it happen for sure.
How does that change your mindset when you look at other things in life, like starting?
Yeah. Yeah. So honestly, the biggest thing for me that I think it did, it developed a sense of discipline that I don't think I really knew that was possible before. Obviously like being athletes, basketball is fun, right? So getting up early and going to work out or going to get some shots up or go run pickup or whatever the case is, like that kind of discipline where you're working out on your craft where it's fun, that's easy. But in terms of discipline in the kitchen and what I think is a real problem in America, like food addiction, like I was definitely addicted to food and not like where I was like, oh, I just have to eat something. But it was like, I just didn't understand what the food was doing to my body, what like the sugars and things like that were doing to my body. So when I was able to cut some of that stuff out and just the discipline that did it and changed it and I saw the results from it, it's just kind of created a new level of confidence, I guess, in my own life that I'm able to do things that maybe before I thought I may not have been able to do, if that makes sense. Yeah. Just what discipline can bring to your life. And obviously this is not some new profound thing that I discovered. Like obviously everybody knows discipline is good. I just didn't have enough of it. Yeah. That's been probably the biggest change. It's given me a level of discipline that I feel like I can take to any area of life, whether that's work, you know, this extracurricular stuff with the podcast, anything I'm doing, that's been the most impactful thing for sure. It's just shown me that I can control, like if you can control what you're putting into your body, then you can control, you know, pretty much everything else. So, that's been probably the biggest change. One of the most impactful things for me, at least.
Yeah. And we talked about this on Twitter the other day, the attention spans of people.
Oh man.
And we talked about this for reading in kids and adults and how they can't read more than a couple paragraphs, but dieting is similar where it's like, if it doesn't work in 2 days, I'm over it.
Exactly. And I will say like, that was one thing that the diet that I picked up and the diet that I adopted, one thing I will say about it, which I was shocked by, was how fast it worked. I started it in the middle of May, and you know, the first month I lost 30 pounds. And then, you know, the next 20 came over the next month and a half. So it did happen actually much faster than I expected, but it was a matter of like extreme discipline even to make that happen, because I really cut everything out of my diet. I mean, I just kind of, you know, stopped drinking completely. It's very, like I said, limited sugar, stuff like that. So the discipline was huge, but I feel like there's a trade-off. Like, there's nothing wrong with losing weight fast, and you can lose weight fast. You just have to, you know, cut things out that you may not really want to. And I think most times either people aren't really willing to do that, which is fine. I mean, you can lose weight at a slow rate. It's harder to stick with it, obviously.
Yeah.
So that was one thing, at least with the diet I did, that it was different and unexpected, and I was really happy with the way it was going and how fast it was working. So that's just another thing I would say to anybody listening to it. I mean, certain things can work quickly, you know, if you want to lose weight fast. And obviously, if anybody wants to reach out, I can be more specific about the type of things I was eating and stuff. But you're definitely right, though. And I think not even only do people have a short attention span and if they don't get immediate results, they kind of quit things. Mm-hmm. It's a real addiction we have in America right now. I mean, I you see it everywhere. I mean, obviously, Americans are not known as the most healthy people. And it's taken it, you know, has an effect on the economy. It has effect on the healthcare system. It has effect on a lot. So it's between the low attention spans and the addiction that's going on. It's sad, man. It's sad to see. So just, you know, I think it's really important for people to take care of their bodies. I wish I would have done it sooner in life, but it's definitely a message that I'm going to be pushing, hopefully for the rest of my life, if I'm able to maintain it, which is definitely the plan.
Yeah. So, and you know, that's something I can certainly relate to too, because when you mentioned right after you stopped playing, it's kind of when it gets tough, because like for me, I've been playing basketball since I was like 5 years old, right?
Right, exactly.
At 21, it just abruptly stops. So 16 years of like playing, not just basketball, through my youth, I played sports all year round. So it's 16 years of playing sports literally all year round. You don't take breaks. Mm-hmm. And so you're constantly burning those carbs. You don't really care about what you're eating. And
not at all.
Even for me,
it doesn't matter as much. I would say it really doesn't matter as much, because you're burning it all off, or a lot of it, for sure.
Exactly. So, and for me, one of the biggest knocks on me as a high school player coming up was that I was too frail. So I was not chunky kid, but I was a thicker kid. And then like ninth grade, I just shot up. I went from like 5'6" to 6'1". Yeah. So I shot up and thinned out. And I was like, if my high school highlights are on YouTube. So you can go back and see, I was a twig. It was like scary. So that was like the biggest knock on me. And then I had a guy who, he's a college coach now. He's been on like NC State staff. But at the time, he was working with Team Takeover.
Gotcha.
And I was trying to get down with Team Takeover for AAU. And he was like, you know, one of the things, you got to get stronger. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, compared to our dudes will eat you alive. You know what I mean? Because you're not strong enough. Right. And I'm just like, and he was like, so at this point, all food is good food. And I was like, all right, bet. Say no less. You know what I mean? So like, you know, and
yeah,
and at the time, it didn't do anything. And it actually worked. Like, I put on like 10 pounds of muscle for like 3 straight years, and I went into college like 6'3", 180, 190, which is solid.
Definitely.
And then
man.
Yeah, so like you get to, and then, you know, that was probably like what I was hovering around in college. I went to like 200 max, but then, you know, college ended, and I had a like a big jump in weight at that point.
Yeah, man.
And then I kind of saw it. I saw it and I got control of it, and I got all the way back down to like 198. It was crazy. And then had a baby. So fatherhood brought all that shit to a rest. So it was like,
definitely, I feel you.
and I just heard this. I just heard this thing about like sympathy weight that like dads get when the mom is pregnant. And I've
heard
like,
of that before.
I never realized it. And I went back and thought, I was like, dang, like I really, that's exactly when I stopped like working out. Every time I would go to the gym, I would come back home to Holly and feel like a jerk. You know what I mean? Like, right. I would feel like, dang, man, I really can go work out. And she's like in here ballooning up because she
Right. It's a real thing. I believe that for sure, man. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
You know, now I'm going to try to get myself on the same journey, man, and try to, try to get down to playing weight. That's my 2020 goal for the remainder.
I feel you. And that's part of it for me too. Like I want to be able to, I mean, I've played basketball, but I mean, it's just, there's no debating. You cannot be the same type of player that you were if you're, you know, 20, 30, 40. In my case, I was like over 40 pounds heavier than I was when I was playing. You know what I mean? Like I gained a lot of weight. So I totally feel that, bro. I think that's great. And it's obviously, it's not an easy thing, but all you got to do is try, man. That's for sure.
See, now when I hoop against my high schoolers, it's like post work. Y'all right. Babies.
Y'all want to play half court?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. 100%.
No defense, lots of post work and jump shots.
Right. Because, Coop, my memory of you is as a point guard. Were you playing point at in college too?
Yep.
Okay, that's what I thought. So, yeah, that's even more different too. Like, yeah. I was a wing in high school, and then I transitioned to kind of like a stretch four because I was not as thin as I should have been. So like, luckily I've had some of that post work, but yeah, without a doubt, I'm just right now I'm a straight post player. It's crazy.
So, let's talk about some basketball a little bit then.
Yeah, man.
You know, I think we got officially 12 days, right? Seasons mm-hmm. or 11 days, I'm sorry.
11 days.
Yeah. 11 days as the season gets started on the 30th. But we have some exhibition games coming up this week, which the NBA just announced they're going to 10-minute quarters for these exhibition games to get guys into shape. So, with the season coming back, man, who do you like? Who do you think's winning it all?
So I am a huge, just a disclaimer, put this out there, I'm a huge LeBron fan. Like probably maybe one of the, you know, I'm as diehard of a LeBron fan as you'll probably see on the internet, like Nick Wright level LeBron fan.
Oh, no.
But I'm realistic, though. I'm realistic. No, I think, just to say that, I want to like put that out as a disclaimer because I think I want the Lakers to win. I think that they have a really good chance to win. But one team that I just with given the circumstances of everything, is the Sixers. I think arrested Sixers team. And you know, I obviously every time Ben Simmons makes a jumper on Twitter, I get excited and think maybe he's finally going to reach his full potential. Obviously, we've been seeing a little bit more of that recently. Mm-hmm. Brett Brown's been saying some more things like he always does in that amazing accent he has. But I think the Sixers, I mean, they have, in terms of what's going to be happening there, I think it's going to be a more physical league. There's not going to be as much I think there's going to be less offense because there's not as much energy in the crowd. These guys haven't been playing. And I think, you know, defensively, to me, the Lakers and the Sixers are probably the best team. But the Sixers defense with their size and strength is just, it's pretty unmatched. So if they were able to figure out a lineup here where, you know, you're maybe taking Ben off the one, like Brett was saying, which I think they should have been doing. I think the Sixers are probably my sleeper pick, but I mean, I'm going to have to rock with the Lakers. And I think, I mean, I still think LeBron, you know, greatest player of all time, AD, one of the best bigs of all time. I think it's going to be, if they can play up to their level and if the guys around them don't fumble the bag pretty much, I'm taking the Lakers, but I'm not sleeping on the Sixers. That would be my sleeper pick for sure.
Yeah. And so far me and Mike have that same pick as well. And we did a playoff bracket a couple of weeks ago, and I told Mike on the last episode, I'm going to stick to my guns until we get a official seeding. But, you know, I'm intrigued by the Sixers too. Obviously I'm a Sixers fan, so I have to be, but you know, I'm very interested to see how moving Ben off the point, cause this will be the first time they've done that in his career. Right. I am interested to see how that works out. Mm-hmm. And I like Shake Milton.
Yeah,
I do wish, however, we had like a better point guard that would be going into that spot. No knock on him. I just think he's better coming off the bench. But definitely. I think it's the structure of the team in general with this change is what needed to happen. So that's gonna be interesting to see.
I agree, and I think too it's a good point about Shake. Like obviously he's a talented player. It's just a matter of, you know, say we are in a situation where it's Lakers Sixers in the finals, like, I mean, how much do you trust Shake Milton on the court when, you know, Anthony Davis and LeBron James are on the other side? That's a tough situation. So I totally agree with you on that. Well, we'll see what happens. I'm excited to see it though, but we will see. We will see.
You think the Rondo injury is going to impact the Lakers?
Man, that hurts. That hurt. I think it does because I'm not like a huge Rondo guy or anything, but playoff Rondo, man, I mean, historically has been a real thing, right? And he looked like he was in great shape. I mean, we saw some of those pictures. He looked real good, all strong. Like he looked like he was ready to play. And obviously, like the experience that he has, you know, the pedigree that he has is something that obviously you can't just pick up from somebody off the bench. You know what I mean? I love to make jokes online that Alex Caruso is, you know, the future of the league, but him stepping up and like trying to fill some shoes like that, or even no matter who we run, I don't know if we've picked up any other points. Like, I don't know who else it was going to be that they're going to start at the one. But I think it does hurt us. I wasn't happy to see that at all. I think that was really unfortunate. I guess maybe play Bron at the one and you know, fill some other things out elsewhere, but we'll see what happens. I mean, I don't think it would ruin the chances, but I do think that he adds a lot to a team in the playoffs. So I was sad to see that, but we'll see what happens. Other guys are just going to have to step up.
Yeah, he's definitely a leader there. I think they're going to miss that. But, yeah, LeBron at the point, they can probably. Yeah, I'm off Philly, by the way. I'm 100% off of Philly. When we first started talking about it, I kind of liked them. Now I'm totally off.
It's yeah. just like,
what makes you say that?
Well, I just don't know what they're going to do in half-court sets in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's going to be congested. It's going to be so tight with Embiid. Like, I just don't know how it works.
That was my thing since last summer. When they signed Horford, I was in shock. Like, I could not believe that they gave up shooting to sign another big. Like, it just – I know a lot of people are excited about it. I just don't know that it ever really worked, and I never saw it working. I don't think it can work. The way the game is played now is just – that's not how your team can be to be, I think, competitive in like a final series.
No, not at all.
So yeah, that's going to be tough. And that's always been my thing with the Sixers, and especially having Ben and Embiid on the floor at the same time. Like, if you're going to have them on the floor at the same time, you've got to have other shooters, because it's too clogged. You know what I mean? If Ben's not even going to be willing to take a shot, I mean, I don't know how things are going to operate. I mean, they have talent. Obviously they have, I think, Embiid. I mean, probably a hot take, but I think he has like the ability to be maybe the best center of all time, like the most skilled big man of all time. Simmons, I have high hopes for him as well to be, you know, an all-time great. But just the way the game is played now and the way their team is made up, I just didn't see it working really well this year. And I know they had a little ups and downs, but I don't know. I think they have the talent. I think they can do it. I'm in the same boat as you. I don't know how they're going to do it. So I'm kind of curious to see what these changes are and see if it looks good.
Yeah. So yeah, as a Sixers fan, I didn't like the Horford signing.
I'm glad to hear that.
I hated it. And honestly, that day was such a roller coaster for me.
Yeah.
Because I was driving to Virginia, and I had Holly take over the last half of that so that I could watch free agency alerts. So,
right.
Full disclaimer, right? So the first thing that happened was, because it was almost foregone conclusion that Jimmy was leaving. And I wasn't too mad. I wasn't really mad about that, because I didn't want to give a 5-year max to a guy who's already 30 years old and be paying into 35. So I had been saying that for weeks. I was like, let Jimmy go. And then they, not only did they let him go, they got Josh Richardson back. So we got someone who's like 4 or 5 years younger. I think he's like 25, 26. We got someone 4 or 5 years younger who's going to give a shooting and at least somewhat shooting and defense and even a secondary ball handler.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, great, wonderful, excellent, great job, Philly. And then we went ahead and gave a 4-year max to a guy that's 34 or 33.
Craziness, man.
And not only that, a guy who doesn't fit whatsoever with Ben Simmons. I'm just like,
I think, was obvious too.
I think everybody and their mothers knows that you need to put shooting around someone who doesn't shoot.
Exactly. Right?
Like, that's like analytics 101. And mm-hmm. I'm not even the most analytical guy, but I know that Ben Simmons needs 3 to 4 shooters around him, period. Right. If he's not going to shoot a jump shot. Having Embiid is hard enough. You're going to throw Horford into that. Now, if we didn't have Embiid, I like the Horford signing. I think he's a good
fit
with Ben Simmons.
But I agree.
Not with Embiid and not with also Ben Simmons. That just there's no way that ever works. Yeah. Other than defensively, sure. But we're not
defensively.
Yeah, but we're not in the 80s, right? We're like the bad boy era is over. That's not how you win championships anymore. Is by putting people on the floor. That defend. So unfortunately, you're 30 years late on the model. 40 years, I'm sorry, late on the model of team that you've developed. So that
I could not agree more.
I was so mad, and Holly couldn't figure it out. She, was, I was like depressed for the last 2.5 hours of the ride because the Sixers signed Al Horford. It was an awful day.
I'm glad you're realistic about it. And I have a lot of friends, obviously, where we're from, a lot of friends that are Sixers fans, and most of them were kind of in the same boat. But I still think that I had some friends that were just so optimistic about it, and I couldn't quite figure it out because in my mind, I just could not see a world where Ben Simmons, Al Horford, and Joel Embiid are on the floor at the same time, and that team is able to, you know, compete with the way basketball is played today. Just it didn't make sense in my brain, and it still doesn't make sense. So I don't know. We'll see. And I think JJ, I mean, obviously the JJ Redick situation is tough. Another older guy, another vet. More money that you would have to spend. But exactly like you said, I mean, in my opinion, I think Ben Simmons is like a LeBron James type player. Like if you get him on the floor and give him 2 or 3 shooters with the way he's able to slash, if you can get some spacing for him, your team's going to make a lot of threes. They're going to get a lot of open looks, or if not, he's going to get a lot of dunks at the rim. So it just, I just to piggyback off of what you said, I mean, it seemed like a simple formula for them to become a successful team, and their free agency was like half productive and half really not. So it definitely was tough. So I know exactly what you're saying.
And you know what? Go easy on the people who sympathize with the Horford signing. Because here's what happened to me. So I hated it until the season started. We whooped on the Celtics in the first game of the year.
They looked good right away.
And I was like, yo, you know what? We really is going. We're going to take it back to the '80s and '90s. We just going to strap everybody up. We don't need to score in the half court. We just going to strap everybody up and score 90 points a game and beat everybody. And that kind of works at home, I guess. Our home record was incredible. But on the road, which I guess the saying used to be defense travels.
Yeah.
But it doesn't for the Sixers. So, you know, I think that's where the flaws got exposed.
I agree. And I think we're also in a league now where, like, I mean, I know a lot of people love to say, and your man's Ty loves to say this too, that, like, guys just aren't playing defense in the league. I couldn't be more on the opposite spectrum of that. I think it's like, I think these guys are so good that it's hard to guard people, right?
Yeah, right.
So the Sixers built a really good defensive team there, but the phrase defense travels, I think it's good in high school and college. Oh, we might have to edit this if you guys just heard that bark. I think it's good in high school and college. But in the league, it's tough, right? Because the guys are so talented, man. Like, this is, I'm always debating people. I don't know where you guys stand on this, but in terms of, like, you know, the current era versus previous eras, I just think guys are so much more talented now. They're so much harder to guard. So defenses, I think, is really important. But if you're not putting guys on the floor who offensively can get it done as a unit, they're going to struggle when you know, the going gets tough, you know. And I think that's kind of, you know, where the Sixers found themselves. They had some games they were up by a lot of points. They were blowing teams out. Yeah, so it's just, I mean, guys are just so talented now that it just – I don't know, man. I think the whole defense travels thing, I believe in it, but it's tough. I mean, if you don't build a good offensive team in the league today – like we see, I mean, obviously the Warriors have a great defensive team, but they're the most potent offense ever. So, and that's what gets it done. It's a tough call. Excited to see what happens, but I think the Sixers do have a lot of work they need to do. But we'll see if they've made some adjustments, and it might work out for them.
Yeah, and I agree wholeheartedly, and I think that's an unfair assessment of today's NBA is that guys don't play defense.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think what if you really look at it is the game is structured to make defense harder. You know, exactly. Obviously, they took that's away the point. And that's because no one wants to see Bill Laimbeer take people's heads off anymore. Like, that's not basketball. That's UFC. So, you know, that's why you have the evolution of the game. You know, the hand checking goes away. The three-point line is a little bit further back. You know what I mean? And there's more emphasis put on it analytically because the three-point shot is a more valuable shot than the two-point shot. It's just do the math. You know, so it is what it is. And then, like you said, the skill level is there. Like, come on, you can't, you know, and it's because those older guys, right? Those older guys made the game exciting and fun for us to watch, and they continuously push the envelope, and we're just doing the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, you see these ridiculous things that creative ways for James Harden to create space. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And is it practical? So it's annoying.
I feel you, man.
But it's a testament.
Works. It's effective.
It's a testament to how, you know, guys are constantly looking for ways to improve. And that's all that it is, really. Yeah. I mean, and if you look at it, you watch any NBA shoot around, like or videos that they post. JaVale McGee will post videos of him hitting like 10 straight threes, and he's
crazy.
He's like one guy. If you saw him actually shoot in a game, you say, "What in the world is he doing?"
Right.
But if he showed up to your local LA Fitness, he'd be the point guard.
It would go for it.
He'd be the point guard, and he'd destroy you. You know what I mean? Exactly. Like that's the thing that people don't understand about the level of these NBA guys. Like, they watch them compete against other NBA players, and they're like, "Oh, well, they're not playing defense," or "Oh, it's too easy." No. Yeah.
Right.
You know,
that
like these guys are really that good. Like, don't ever get it twisted. That the worst player in the NBA is by far the best player you've ever seen in your life.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Defensively, too. Defensively.
Yeah. On both ends. Yeah.
I mean, there's no regular person that's scoring on an NBA player. Like, you could take whoever you think plays the worst defense in the league, and, like, there's no shot. Yeah, exactly. You might be able to get a bucket, but, I couldn't agree more. And it's something that you don't always get to see it. And, like, with some guys, you really do. I mean, I'm sure you've played with great guys, too. And this is just, you know, my most recent memory of seeing, you know, that level of talent. The kid Rockman, he played at Michigan. He was from, like, the Allentown area. So he was where I went to school. He was, like, a, you know, really well-known player. Obviously, played at Michigan for 4 years. And he had gotten injured, but he was going to be signing with I forget what NBA franchise it was, but there was, like, their G League affiliate, basically. And last fall at my homecoming, like during our homecoming, we'll get a bunch of guys to come like pick up some old alumni players and then guys from the area. One of our assistant coaches was like really, you know, well known in the area, and he knew a lot of the high level guys, and he came to play with us. And it was just when you're in situations like that, like you can really see the difference. Like, it's unbelievable. And for guys that maybe have never been on the court with a guy that was, you know, a high level professional type player, I don't think that's why I struggle debating basketball sometimes with guys that have never played against guys at a high level. You know what I mean? Cause some guys get it. Like, some guys can just watch it and understand it. But if you've never seen it, it's just kind of hard to have those conversations. Cause it's just an entirely different level of athleticism and skill that these guys have. And it's crazy. And it's almost, some guys are literally impossible to guard. I mean, there's guys that there's nothing that anyone could do. They won't be able to guard them. And I think that's the majority of the NBA, you know, if a guy gets cooking, it's going to be hard to stop him. You know what I mean? But I don't know. It's tough. Tough debates. There's a lot of debates to be had about basketball, that's for sure.
Yeah. See, my old trainer, shout out to Sam Sutton. My old trainer used to say, and he played at Towson and played at Division I level. So he played with Gary Neal a lot in pickup runs.
Right.
If you remember Gary Neal. He used to play for the Spurs,
right? Wasn't he on the Spurs?
Yeah, played for the Spurs.
Yeah.
He used to tell me, you can tell a pro, you're on the court with a pro when he gets to a spot and they're on the floor and there's nothing you can do about it.
Exactly.
And he said, listen, Gary Neal used to get to a spot, and when we used to go back and play touts and pickup games, he used to get to a spot and there was nothing you could do. And that, and for every pro that I've met and played against, whether even if it's overseas, you know what I mean?
Man.
Like one of guys you're probably familiar with, Desi Washington.
Yeah, I played with him at the Friendship Center, man. That's another example. Great example.
You know what I mean? Those kind of Formiglin from area, Trey Bowman, like them guys get to a certain spot and you can play the best defense possible and it's a wrap for you. So
Four gave us 30 in high school. I remember him. I remember that night vividly. He lit us up. Those guys are just different, man. They're different. Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? It is what it is. When you get on the court with a guy with that kind of a skill set and dedication to his craft,
man,
show respect, man. That's all, you know.
It's that simple. And that's the thing. Like, I don't really say that. Sometimes I get into some, like, I have some hot takes on Twitter, but like, I don't say things like disrespect old heads. I think that the way that young guys get disrespected is crazy. That's kind of just where I'm at with it. Because these guys are just so good, man. And just to not recognize the talent just because you think the league is soft and there's no defense is just, it frustrates me for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, man. All right. Well, that's pretty much all we have for you guys today. Again, thank you, Cody, for joining us. We appreciate you coming on the show and being a part of the network that we have going on here, man. And help contribute into, you know, the content, man. So we appreciate you big time.
Yeah. Thank you guys. Thanks for having me on. And just kind of just to close with just talking a little bit about that. I can't thank you guys enough for this opportunity, right? I think it's really cool what you guys have been doing. I saw that you guys were doing the pod, and then it was just crazy timing. You know, I think sometimes the universe just gives us crazy timing like that. I had made the decision that I was going to start a podcast, and the next day, I think it was, you guys put out a tweet that if there's any podcasters, writers, or anybody looking to work with the All In Network, just to reach out to you and we can try to make something happen. And it was just kind of like, how could I not do this? You know what I mean? It was trying to do something new. You guys were amazingly helpful from the beginning. Even when I was making mistakes along the way, you guys were extremely helpful. And it's been great and really easy. And I love the diversity of content, right? I mean, there's obviously some things that, you know, certain people are good at discussing, and it goes through the full spectrum. I mean, if you go to the YouTube channel or all of our platforms, there's so many different things being discussed. And I think that's the most important thing. You guys are building something really cool, and I'm excited to be a part of it. And hopefully we can make something big happen for sure. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah, man. And that's kind of, you know, our mission really is to kind of bring a bunch of different, you know, voices and topics all into one area. And because podcasting is a collaborative kind of experience, right? You know, your audience grows by connecting with other audiences and stuff like that. So that's kind of our mission, is to kind of bring a bunch of people who have, you know, ideas and thoughts and things that they want to talk about and do, and bring it all to one platform. So it's been shared amongst, you know, a consistent base. So, you know, it is, like you said, it's great. All the content we have now, and we're still looking for more.
And which is great.
You know, so far it's been a great ride. It's been where we're consistently growing. And it's been extremely fun. So I'm excited to see where it goes, man. I think, you're going to bring an excellent, you know, new energy to the network. And I think I hope you guys are ready for it, man. So if you don't follow him already on Twitter, most of his social media is at RealDeal52. You can find his podcast content on the All In Network YouTube page. Go ahead and subscribe there, and you can also find our All In Politics, All In with Rain and Bliss, and of course the All In podcast as well. And we got some other exciting things going on with the network as well. Mike, you want to touch on those?
Yeah, so make sure you go to the website allinnetwork.net, where you can find the links to all the podcasts. Check out the articles we're writing. Also go to teespring.com/all-in-network to get merchandise to support the podcast and the network. Keep growing so we can add more podcasts like Cody's.
Yeah, man. Shout out my young boy Carter, man. Showing love with the with the merch. That's one of my Columbia players. So I make sure I give him a shout out. He shows some love and grabs some merch and posts it on social media. So not that I should have favorite players, but that is now my favorite player.
The ball's going to be in his hands for sure.
Right.
So, yeah, we appreciate you guys tuning in to another episode of the All In Podcast featuring Real Deal Radio host Cody Deal. Thank you guys for being all in with us so far. And you guys have a great day, night, whenever you're tuning in. And, you know, stay all in.
We'll talk to you. Thanks, guys. How you know, man?